our agenda is there. On the agenda today, we have the container ID discussion. It's issue 134. Issue 141, which is prefix and query terminology, just making sure to wordsmith that correctly so we don't step on any toes. Issue 155, the JSON-LD introduction via data model. Issue 109, adding Flatten to the JSON-LD API, and then discussing whether or not Frame should be a part of JSON-LD 1.0, the API. Anything else that we should add to the agenda or discuss? I have one request, Greg. I don't know if we really had a chance to do kind of a postmortem on your talk to the NoSQL conference. So I'd like to hear a bit more about that. And then I had a fairly lengthy discussion with Richard Siganiak at Derry yesterday about the issues that he had with the spec, and I think a number of good things came out of that discussion, so I think we should discuss that as well. Let's see. Marcus, you're up to scribe. Would you mind scribing today?
Well, sure, that's fine.
Great, thanks.
One question regarding discussing framing. We might want to, depending on where that discussion goes, take issue 114 to account as well, the Objectify, Link, Graphify, Connect, whatever we call it these days, notion.
I think that's something we need to push forward.
Sorry, so what are we pushing for? The Objectify call, the discussion on that? If we're getting rid of framing, or just as another thing we should discuss?
Yeah, well, it depends on what kind of conclusions we reach when we discuss framing. So probably we should start off with that. But I, at least from what I've gathered, both Greg and I use, in the scenarios where framing have been applicable, we have often used something like Link or Connect.
Right. Okay, that sounds good. All right, let's go latest first. So, Greg, would you mind giving us kind of a real quick rundown of how the talk at the NoSQL conference went?
Yeah, it went quite well, I think. Now, the audience is a little unusual since NoSQL is not a thing. It's just not something. So you get a lot of people out there that with some blank stares in the talk, particularly when I, fortunately, I only had one slide on Turtle. But I think it went well, and I got a lot of good feedback from people there and then after the fact on particularly the use of it as a way of sort of pushing sort of RDF use for people that are otherwise using Mongo. And it struck me while I was there, based upon a couple of things, some of the advantages that JSON-LD really brings. For one thing, I think the tendency in Mongo is to sort of use small documents, so you have an object per document, and there's a lot of reasons to do that. However, that can lead to some real performance problems when you get into partitioning the collections that get set up, because it ends up having to do with linear walkthroughs. So most of the people using it really say you need to stick with pretty large objects. And where JSON-LD really has an advantage there is in its support for basically named graphs by basically collecting together all the information from some source. You can easily include that in a single document, and then using all of the individual documents within graphs there. And it I think that really allows you, it gives you a natural way to collect these things together without really losing any of the semantics. The other thing that was interesting, there was several talks on something called JSONIQ, or JSON-IQ, which ends up being an XPath extension, basically, for JSON. And someone's actually done a optimized version that runs basically inside of Mongo. And what one thing that makes that interesting is I gather there is a way to basically convert from Sparkle straight to XPath, and therefore JSONIC might look like a natural way of doing queries inside of JSON LD, which is something we discussed as being particularly useful if we were looking to use Graphify as a replacement, there's a partial replacement for framing.
So the assumption there, though, is that your data has a very normal structure, right? So
well,
if you're going to use XPath.
Not necessarily. However, if it does, I mean, yeah, I think you can have whatever you want, but with regards to the Sparkle conversion, I presume that there is something that you need to do there. But, of course, one of the advantages of JSON LD is we can easily flatten the data out to give it such a normalized structure.
Right.
So I really haven't looked into JSONIC in any detail. I did talk with some of the people there about it enough to think that it was definitely going to be something interesting to look at. But if with looking at something like Graphify, you're basically the natural formats to use is a flattened graph. Then that seems like it probably gets us partway there.
Did there seem to be a lot of other interest there in JSONIC? Like, were there multiple people that were kind of giving presentations on it, or did it seem like a fairly fringe technology at the time? Or
There were about four presentations on it, so I'd say it was
okay.
One of the big. But of course, that's probably because there's more of a concerted effort to get those presentations out. In terms of of any other buzz outside of those presentations, I couldn't really tell.
Right.
I really wasn't there long. I was basically just went there the last day. But it struck me that if a query is something that we need to be able to tackle generically, that JSONIC, which isn't, it's an open spec. Let's see if I can find a link to it. Is something worth looking into?
Okay. Cool. No, that's great. I know that the query problem has been kind of floating out there for quite a while, and framing was kind of an attempt to deal with the query problem, or such that you didn't have to query. But I think the big thing with JSONIC is that we don't have to necessarily, work on it. Meaning it's someone else kind of tackling that problem. We don't have to try and, invent a solution from the ground up. So
I think if we had a way of sort of staying within the JSON domain, but being able to have all the richness that Sparkle gives for doing graph queries and constructs, I think I typically use construct, I think that's a really good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That effectively replaces the current stack that, people are used to for RDF, right? It's the triple store Sparkle stack. I think it would be good in that it would at least let us understand what an alternative could be and where it falls down and where it does fairly well. All right, anything else on the conference? Or any questions for Greg about the conference? I have one quick one. Greg, what did you feel about the approach that you took for this presentation? Do you feel that it went better than the other time? Do you feel like there are some snags that you hit on this time around that you weren't expecting? Mostly, we're trying to learn how to kind of present this stuff to people, and anything that you learn from that would be helpful.
I think that the approach I took there, where I really spent very little time on the APIs, really probably did work. I probably should have had another slide in there about the API calls and some discussion, very high level of what they did. I tended to not, I focused in on really what the meaning of sort of the JSON is and a little bit on the expanded forms. And then I argued about why for the purpose of doing things like Graphify, sticking with the expanded node reference form is there's a big advantage in that for generic processing. So you know, I think this approach worked pretty well, but it was a different group. I think the Semtech group is they understand the pieces more in order to be able to get confused. if you get my drift on that,
Okay. All right. Anything else before we move on to the next topic? Okay. So let's see. This was a discussion that our next up is a discussion on the RDF concepts terminology that I had with Richard. So I called him offline yesterday. And he was kind enough to take time out of his vacation to kind of talk about this stuff. And there were three major things that came out of the discussion. I think at a very high level, there was no large disagreement about anything that we were doing, right? Meaning that there was no fundamental thing that could not be worked through, which I wasn't expecting. You know, that was going to be the case, but it's nice to have that reinforced. So Richard felt, I think in the end, that we need to say a bit more about how JSON-LD, the terminology we use in JSON-LD maps to RDF, but he didn't feel that we really need to say that up front in the document. He said that we could probably just say, hey, for the people that care about RDF, go read this section in the appendix that tells you how the terminology kind of matches over, like what a property in JSON-LD actually ends up being in RDF once it goes through the conversion process. And even better, he volunteered to write that section. And I think that's great because he's the one that is trying to keep the terminology between all of these RDFE documents in sync. And so I think he's ideally suited to write that appendix section. So he has, you know, he's done a fork of the repository, and he's probably going to edit some text submit, and we're going to kind of take a look at it. Is there any, before he does that, is there any objection to him doing that? I told him to go ahead and do it just because I didn't think that anyone would object to him going in and taking a first cut at an appendix that shows how the terminology maps. So any objections for him working on that? Okay.
Yeah,
is he doing that on GitHub or on the W3C?
GitHub.
Okay.
GitHub. And I added him to the list of committers in case he wanted to, since he's already part of the RDF working group, there's no issue there, and I think Richard is he's already an editor and he knows how to do that stuff. So the more he can help us out, the better, I think. Okay, so that was one out of the three things that we discussed. The second thing that we discussed was changing the introduction such that it flowed a bit more nicely. So Richard said, look, your audience seems to be JSON developers, so what you probably want to do is explain this to them in terms that they understand. And we already have that little glossary at the front that says, you know, this is a JSON object, and this is what array means, and this is what null means. And they map to the JSON, basically the JSON terminology. But he said, you know, why don't you keep going and say, maybe you're talking about nodes or maybe you're talking about objects. JSON folks might be more used to talking about objects, so maybe we can talk about some of the things as, an object an object reference or an object definition or, you know, things like that. So you said, you know, maybe there's something that can be done with the terminology to make that a little more understandable. And then the other thing is, he felt pretty strongly that we should have a section in there discussing the JSON-LD data model. And I explained to him that, you know, the JSON-LD, at least it wasn't my intention in the spec starting out to have a JSON-LD data model or have this separate layer that people needed to think about. It was mostly just refinements on, it was patterns that you could use with JSON that would result in RDF data if passed through the API. But I think he does have a point in that we do kind of have a JSON-LD model, and he's concerned that it's not the people reading the document, kind of the newbies, they're not going to care that much about the model. We've already demonstrated that people can use this stuff without understanding what the model is. But he's concerned that other people that need to create interoperable specs or software with the JSON-LD syntax are going to have issues if we don't define some type of model. So the second thing we discussed was basically, you know, how do we do a simple introduction and then maybe describe the model in JSON terms. And effectively, at the end of the model section, say, look, these are the things that JSON-LD buys you that JSON cannot provide. So if you use JSON-LD, you can look forward to these improvements in your data. And I think that's definitely something that's worthwhile to do. So I have a vague idea of how the introductory portion of the JSON-LD spec could be changed to reflect that, and I can take a cut at that. But before I do that, I kind of wanted to hear back a couple of thoughts from you guys. If you think that the introduction for the document should talk about the JSON-LD model in some way. And kind of describe, you know, make it more JSON-centric. So we describe JSON-LD in JSON terms. Greg, you're on the queue.
I really agree with Richard's point there. I think the other thing that I don't think you mentioned here, but you created an issue for, was basically sort of removing the whole linked data definition bit, which
that's the third one. Okay, so that's the third item. We'll get to that after this
okay.
one. But yeah, that's in there.
But I agree. I think that if the target audience for the syntax document in particular is JSON developers, then really motivating why, you know, what makes a JSON-LD different? How does it differ from the normal practice of using JSON, and what are the advantages of doing that is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was thinking of lifting, Richard hadn't seen my introduction to linked data and introduction to JSON-LD, so I was thinking of maybe lifting some of the points from that and maybe putting it in the spec, just really quick one sentence, you know, summaries of what it gets you. Okay. Any other input on that before I take a shot at Nicholas, you're on the queue.
It's more of a reflection than any hard suggestions, I think. I think that the thing that draw me to RDF in general and what I feel that I preserve when I express data in JSON-LD as well is that apart from other data languages, the intent, there is a clear intent with this on a conceptual level that you describe things
mm-hmm.
in themselves. Somehow conveying that should be very valuable on a very high level, but still really stress the point that you're not describing raw data from a data mm-hmm. table, but you're after some correspondence to the actual domain model in as mm-hmm. few steps as possible, and that's where the linkage and all of that comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, I definitely agree. Okay, well, it sounds like there's broad agreement. I'll take a shot at that, and we'll see what comes out. Hopefully,
I would say from what you said in there, it was actually quite a lot of work to change the from subject definition and reference to no definition and reference, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of other terms that were related to it needed to be done. But I do like the fact that we're talking about nodes within when we really talk about sort of the data model. And so object, I would be minus one for object definition and object reference. Object
yeah.
is too loaded a term.
Yeah. Okay, so this kind of segues into the third discussion, which is the definition of linked data. And Richard's point was linked data was meant to be a general kind of strategy for putting data on the web, putting structured data on the web that could talk about other structured data on the web. And if we come up with a set of rules that says this is what linked data is and this is what it is not, then it allows people to say that something is linked data and something is not, when that may not be good for the future of linked data. Meaning, you know, the web today looks very different from what it did 15 years ago, but it's still the web. Right, and if you tried to come up with a formal definition of the web, you would have all of these corner cases that wouldn't fit neatly into it. Like, for example, you know, is FTP on the web? Well, you can get to it via a web browser, but is it truly a web, you know, a web E protocol? And people would argue yes and no either way. So, you know, perhaps the definition for linked data, we should take a normative definition of linked data out of the spec, and instead we should say, in general, this is what linked data is, and do a 3 or 4 paragraph description of it. Probably not any kind of normative text, just informative. And then when it comes to what we have in there right now, which is, you know, this is what linked data is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe we can say this is what the JSON-LD data model is, right? So the JSON-LD data model is a graph, and you have nodes and edges and things like that. And doing that would allow us to preserve the language that both Greg and I, at a minimum, like, which is we're talking about nodes and edges. And it would allow us to define what the JSON-LD model is, and it doesn't get us involved in this potentially really long argument about what linked data is and what linked data is not with the RDF working group. So I think the proposal on the table would be to modify the linked data section and make it more like the JSON-LD data model, you know, talk more about the JSON-LD data model and say that that's the JSON-LD data model. Thoughts on that? Greg?
I sort of agree that trying to get away from a definition of linked data is worthwhile. In fact, the spec is JSON for linking data, which is sort of an active form. It describes something we're doing, but
mm-hmm.
it does not necessarily require that we say, well, what is linked data? You know, we are linking data,
mm-hmm.
and clearly the sort of the resurrected, for those people that didn't see it, mostly on the RDF working group mailing list, sort of this resurrected description about, well, what's linked data, and linked data is not RDF, et cetera. It's just obviously adding noise. It's not really the job of a syntax specification or API to sort of define something that's that broad. What we should really stick to is providing a syntax for doing things and a way of working with it. And at best, sort of treat it the way we treat RDF, is a little bit at arm's length. And yes, it can be used to create documents which to stick to the principles of linked data, much
mm-hmm.
like it can be used to create documents that conform to the RDF data model. But not
mm-hmm.
not saying that this is linked data.
Right. Any other thoughts on this particular issue? So would there be any disagreement for us changing, just doing a three-paragraph explanation of what linked data is very broadly, and then changing the linked data definition section into more like the JSON-LD data model section? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I basically agree. I think that it sounds sound. I wonder if what we'll end up with. We are aiming for it to be compatible with the RDF data model, right? Sort of like.
Yeah. Yeah, and the section at the end, B1 RDF, is the section that Richard's writing, and he's going to make it explicit how the two data models and terminologies map to one another.
So it's more like that section could be just being precise about that. And,
yes.
Not so much map as emphasize the alignment and correspondence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried to make it very clear to Richard that, you know, the JSON-LD data model as we have it right now, there's a potential in the future for it to support things like strings as subjects and strings as predicates. Not that we're going to not that we're doing that now, but there's that potential. And so, you know, we can't say that JSON-LD is a one-to-one mapping of the RDF data model because it's not. JSON-LD can express more things than RDF can because it's a little more lax with its rules. But all of RDF can be expressed in JSON-LD. Those types of clarifications are the ones that I would expect us to put in that, you know, Appendix B1 on RDF.
Right.
Okay. Anything else on this discussion with Richard before we move on? All right. First item up on the agenda is issue 134. Which is the discussion about container and ID. Let me get the link to it right here. Okay, so the question here is, do we want to support subjects in the key position in a JSON-LD document? This is kind of like, you know, language map. We did container colon language. To do a language map, to do an ID map, we do container colon ID, and then every key inside that object, inside a term that says that it's an ID container, each key would expand out into an IRI and be interpreted as the subject of the object that's being in there. The last resolution that we made is we said attempt to add other container options such as container language. We never really said something about ID, and honestly, I don't really know what everyone's position on this is right now. My position has slowly changed over time, so I was very against ID maps in the beginning, and I've had a chance to integrate JSON-LD with two other systems that did not take JSON-LD as a... They didn't know about JSON-LD's existence, and I saw a lot of these ID map patterns used in various places, not just with keys, but people are using full IRIs in both of these systems. So they're trying to do linked data, but they didn't know that linked data existed, but they were trying to do it. So there are all these hrefs and rels around their JSON markup, and they're using URLs to identify everything. So I think I would be a plus one at this point for supporting ID in container. Greg, you're on the queue.
excuse me, I guess I'm a little more worried about the implications of using it for, you know, deeply within a document. So I think where ID map works best is in the top level object. In which case it's perhaps it doesn't wouldn't actually work the way that other container things work, because it wouldn't be the base of the term, but rather would say that you might put something in the context that indicates that the that object containing the context is composed of ID maps. In other words, IRIs that are the subject ID of the objects that they reference. Trying to do it more deeply, where you do something which is really the value range of a property or of a JSON name, I guess, is an object with IDs. It starts to really make it difficult to look at the data and know what it says, because it implies so much knowledge of the context, which are likely not even included in the body. So it's very difficult to look at it and know what it's saying. So I guess in summary, I think having IDs at the top level, where you have an object and instead of a graph array of elements, you have IRIs for each of the objects there in a flattened sense. We already have the algorithm to transform into that, basically, as part of flattening. I think that's really useful. I just question whether it's useful using it more deeply.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I'll agree with Greg's position there in general. It would be interesting to see some of those examples, though, Manu, if you have some references or something.
I'll try and list them. They're Department of Defense stuff, so I can't really talk too much about it.
I see.
But I can come up with some. They are deeply nested. That's one of the things I can say about them, is that they do. It's like three or four levels deep in this JSON object. And they're fairly large JSON objects.
Yeah. In general, though, I think that it's very useful for graph aliases to have this mapping, although I think it's mostly useful for expansion rather than having this mechanism in the compaction, just like we've discussed for other advanced context patterns. In this case also, because more than language maps, it, as Greg also said, it sort of distorts the image, so you can't properly deduce what the data means just by glancing at it. To some extent, that's fine, but given that the ID is such a, the link is such an important part of the shape of JSON-LD, it might get a bit hairy to give people the means to publish data like this in general, although to digest existing data or data in the wild which already has this pattern, to be able to digest that as JSON-LD is valuable enough to support it for expansion, I think.
Yeah, and I think both you and Greg have good points in that. I think the most compelling, or the strongest point to me, is that we have all these different ways of interpreting JSON data, which is good, but being able to mark your data up in all those different ways effectively means that JSON-LD doesn't really have any kind of, you know, form. It's just whatever the person ends up deciding is how they want to, you know, how they want to publish their data. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think that people being able to just use whatever mechanism in JSON-LD to publish their data, so ID maps and language maps mixed with, you know, any of the other features, ends up creating documents that are really difficult to understand unless you know the JSON-LD processing rules, which is, I think, Greg's point. So I could be a plus zero on this now. I mean, I think this is something that we can always add in the future. Is that right? This is a feature that we don't really need to add now. We could add it in the future if there's a strong push for it.
Well, I think there is a really good reason to do something where, at the top level, we basically use the subject identifiers. And if we consider that sort of what we meant by, that was an interpretation of what was meant by ID maps, then I think that's something we should definitely consider. In fact, if you want to look at implementing Graphify, Graphify pretty much requires that you search through, you know, either you maintain that type of a list or you do have to search through all top-level objects in order to do your linking. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of practical reasons to be able to actually use the, I forget what it's called, node map, I think it's called, the node map or something related to the node map definition as part of as a legal syntactic format. I think that would be really useful.
Hmm.
Yeah. Otherwise we're using a data structure internally for which there's no way to express it as actually valid JSON-LD.
Hmm.
That's a good point. I'm
a little more of a minus one on just supporting it at the top level. It seems to me if we're going to support it, we should support it in general. And even the example that's given in the issue is a map that's embedded. It's not a top level. It's not necessarily a top level map. Sorry, it's not a top level ID mapping. So I feel that I'm not disagreeing that it would be useful, but I don't know if adding that is really going to address the original issue that was brought up. And my fear is that we could put this in there, and we end up finding out that there are a lot of people or a decent number of people that need to have it embedded as well. And so we'd have to revisit the feature and expand it at that point. So I think at least my preference right now is just to do nothing and wait until we understand what some of these other markup patterns are that people are using, and then see if we can address those at that point. Nicholas, you're on the queue. Sorry.
No problem. Do we support this already in expansion? Is that right? For graphs or for the top level? Do we
no.
have a mechanism? We discussed.
No.
No. Right.
No.
I don't think we do.
The case for, but I definitely agree as well that if we support it, it would be odd to restrict it. Although. We could restrict it to graph and only graph, perhaps. I don't know if you have anything corresponding to that. I mean, we have the language course and all things like that. Sort of, you already depend on having values that are literals and things like that. So it wouldn't be too far off the already chosen path from those patterns.
Yeah, and I think Greg had suggested that we could make it, you know, just work in graph. But I think still that's the same, we end up in the same place, which is we only support it in graph and nowhere else. And why do we do that? Because we could support it elsewhere.
Well, I mean, the reason graph was added is that we needed a way to be able to serialize a lot of flattened objects. And we needed to do it in a context, with having a context, so that was the original reason graph was added. This would actually remove the need for graph for the purposes of of laying that out. So you could have an object whose keys were the subject IDs. But yeah, that's also it's even though it's a practical it's a practical format to use. It also doesn't pass the test of obviously looking like JSON-LD when you look at it. So yeah, I think perhaps it's best left as a internal description, or if anything, we might consider that there is an alternate format in which everything is expressed that way, and it's not JSON-LD. It's something else.
It is RDF-JSON because RDF-JSON looks like that.
Yeah, except RDF-JSON only goes down to the object level, I think.
Yeah, whereas it doesn't have any...
This would allow you to do an arbitrarily deep mapping of that.
Yeah, that's true. But the key, the thing that is valuable in RDF-JSON is, I mean, we could have chosen the top level to look like RDF-JSON, and that graph would be an ID map. The only thing that would... it's rather big thing is that then we couldn't easily express unlabeled blank nodes, because then we'd had to make up keys for that, and that would sort of look very strange. But
how is that really different from language maps? I mean. I'm not sure I really understand Greg's and Nicholas' concerns 100%.
I think the main difference is if you look at a document with language maps, I think it's more obvious that what that object is containing things which are describing languages because of the form of the language tag. With subject maps, you can use any expression of a IRI, so it could be a full absolute IRI, but it could be a query or a term as well. So you could even imagine that the same document would mean two different things depending upon whether the context included a container ID or not. It could be two different completely legal documents that go to completely different places, and you cannot tell that by looking at the document. Only by looking at the context. So that's sort of my concern about ID maps versus language maps.
Would it be an alternative to put the at container statement within that container for both language maps and ID maps, for example? So instead of defining the container in the context, you define it inline.
Right. That would certainly address that issue.
Because that would also probably solve Drupal's issue with language maps, which they would lose otherwise for round-tripping.
So, yes, that would work for that particular case, but I guess the case that I'm looking at is where people have already expressed this data as JSON, and I just want to add a context to give it meaning, and it wouldn't work for those cases. And I think... those are, at least from my experience, those are the cases that I'm most concerned about, is what happens when people use these ID maps to express data in regular JSON, and then, you know, how do we move that into JSON-LD? And the answer to that is right now we can't, and if we use that feature, the inline feature, we still can't do that.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking more is, not to not support it in the context, but to additionally support it inline. So if after expansion, it will still be in that form, but it will contain that add container inline. The same for language maps and, probably even the same for lists. I don't know if for lists it's really required.
Yeah.
It just feels like we're getting... that much further away from JSON-LD, what is otherwise recognizable JSON-LD syntax. I mean, it is a useful data structure. It's a necessary data structure. And maybe there's a content type that could be used that would be able to say that now it's everything is normalized in that form so that you know what you're seeing. So maybe it's something like an application / ID plus LD plus JSON. and then it well, of course now we're back to something that's closer to RDF JSON, but with all of the other sugar aspects of JSON LD.
Yeah, I'm concerned that we're working on a problem where we don't have enough data, usage data, and I'm concerned that whatever we end up doing is just going to be it's guesswork. It's not, you know, I mean, granted, just about everything we're doing is guesswork, but we have a little more data for some of it, or we feel a little more certain that that's the right way to do it, whereas I don't know if, I certainly don't feel comfortable with any of the proposals on the table saying that we have data to back up this decision, or we feel fairly confident that this is the way people are going to use this this feature.
Well, one strong point would be that it makes it immensely more like efficient to access your data.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you have to loop over a lot of arrays and here you have a direct access.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
I mean, if your data is of the form where you have multiple, you know, where you're delivering multiple objects, and you know, I think that happens a lot in queries to REST services. But when you actually get resources themselves, I don't know if that happens, you know, that much, unless the resource references another resource, and at that point you'd have to have some, you know, knowledge of the resource, of what the resource contains, in order to do direct access. So you know, I think you're right for a certain class of data, but again, I'm completely unsure how much of the data that we're going to be dealing with falls into that category. So does anyone feel strongly about addressing this in JSON LD 1.0? I know we can, I'm pretty sure we can just address this in JSON LD 1.1 or 2.0 if we ever get there. But for 1.0, would anyone object to not putting this feature in 1.0?
That's, my dog is not
I'm
objecting.
Really, I think that the case of just like Marcus said, that it's a very efficient way in certain cases. Of course, in those cases, it might be even more efficient to just to connect if we had such an algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be halfway there anyway.
Well, you'd still need to iterate if you do connect, right?
Yes, you need to iterate. You need to be able to,
exactly,
to resolve a node reference into the object that is that node.
Yeah.
So that's why going into basically turning the graph into a node map would be one step in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why if someone needs to consume data which has a bunch of resources that are tightly bound together because they link to each other, either that data is framed and has somehow framed and has a root object, which is the primary resource, or you really want to connect the data anyway, and if you really want to connect the data, you will build a map and do more things with it. So just having a node map wouldn't be enough anyway.
Well, why wouldn't we be able to just pass in, let's say we have a Graphify call, why couldn't we just pass an option in to say what the indexes are for, you know, anytime there's more than one object that you link to? So, you know, you wouldn't have to, if you iterate, you're iterating over a node map. And if you have a, you know, if you know what you're looking for, you can just refer to it directly. And if you don't, you can just iterate over the entire node map. Seems to me like that would, you know, that would give you the speed with the that Marcus was talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think that's my point, if I understand you correctly, that I'm actually arguing against adding this, because if you want to do something like connect or link, you would do just that. You would loop over everything and connect everything, or filter, as you said first.
Right.
So possibly no one will really benefit from it. I'm really on the verge. We should ask the users of RDF.json somehow if they would like this. But I don't know how many there are in the who are monitoring these discussions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do we feel comfortable just saying do not support container ID and JSON-LD 1.0 at this point, and then if somebody comes up with a really good, a compelling argument, we can just reopen the issue? Or do we not want to make a decision on this?
No, I think we need to make a decision.
Okay. All right. So the proposal is do not support container ID and JSON-LD 1.0. All right, that's all of us, yes. All right. And I guess we'll just go ahead and reopen this if we need to at a later point in time. Okay, issue 141, prefix query terminology. Gavin Carruthers was reading over the section on queries, and he took exception with us using the word resolve. So let's see, resolve relative.
I checked the document already, and I don't know when we did that, but it didn't appear anymore, so I just fixed the last example, which was a bit problematic, and basically closed the issue because there was no issue anymore.
Okay. You might want to ping Gavin and make sure that he thinks that there's no issue anymore either. Have you already done that?
I can't remember. I think I put something in the issue, didn't I?
Let's see. Yeah, you closed it. You might want to just say, "Here, I'll go ahead and send him a message."
Okay, yeah. I thought I put also a comment in there.
All right. Okay, so I guess we can move on from this one. Does anyone else feel that I have a basic grasp of what he was asking for? I think he was just saying that, you know, queries are just pasting strings together. There's no resolution to it. Was that his general argument?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, because IRI resolution is really quite different than prefix, prepending.
Okay.
Now, there was something in there that was sparked by this conversation, I thought, regards to how we resolve the context location. And this, I apologize if this is slightly off topic, but we right now I think we require that the context, if a context is an IRI, that it has to be an absolute IRI. And it's when I was looking at this that I realized, well, I use it as a relative IRI, and there's a lot of advantage in doing that so that I don't have to build my service with knowledge of absolute locations. I can just do it relative to the service base or the document base or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to support that, I think. I do the same.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, just so we can move on then. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just go ahead and update the text with regards to that.
Okay.
Yeah, but it will resolve then to the current document, right?
It'll be treated like the same way we treat IDs that are subjects or objects, where they, if
yeah,
they're not absolute ID, they are resolved relative to the document base.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Issue 155 is the JSON LD introduction via data model. So this is kind of what we discussed in the beginning of the call with Richard Saganiak's, the discussion with Richard Saganiak. So the idea here is to change the linked data section and make it into the JSON-LD data model and rework the introduction so that it flows more cleanly, introduces JSON-LD in JSON terminology, and then describe what the JSON-LD data model is. So I think we handled this at the beginning of the call, and there seemed to be agreement on it. So the idea would be to do these three things. I'm going to paste something in RC. Right, so that is kind of what those are the changes that would be made. So just go ahead and do a proposal for this, since there was no disagreement at the beginning of the call. Does anyone object to doing these three things for the document, which I believe would address this issue?
No, that's fine for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Document, I'm writing the proposal now. So rewrite the introductory portions of the JSON-LD document to explain JSON-LD in JSON terms first, then describe the advantages of JSON-LD, then rework the linked data section, rewrite the linked data section. JSON-LD data model section. So is that proposal okay? All right, so that is resolved. And let's see, issue 109 is next, adding Flatten to the JSON-LD API. There we go. So we already have this.
Been accomplished.
So is the algorithm's already in there? I mean, like, I think, Marcus, did you move it over?
Yeah, the algorithms are there.
Okay, and we in general just agree that Flatten should be in there, that it's useful and all that kind of stuff. Does anyone disagree with Flatten being in there, I guess I should ask?
I think we might want some way in the API in order to get at the node map that is the core of Flatten.
Sorry, can you say that again?
I said I think we might want some way to, perhaps with an option to this, to just return the node map. Because basically, most of what Flatten does is it creates a node map, right, which includes defaults, what combined, and then IDs for all of the different graphs that are in there. And then it uses that in order to extract the array of nodes. So I think it's useful to be able to get that node map out.
Yeah. So this would be an option to the Flatten algorithm that would allow you to return, instead of getting back an array of objects, you get back a map of, it's basically an ID map, right?
The only problem is that it wouldn't be a valid JSON-LD document, so you would get back something that is not a valid document, basically.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if you could make the same argument for Graphify, and you could theoretically make the same argument for 2RDF, meaning that the return value of those API methods are not valid JSON-LD documents.
True, but
yeah,
then we
that's
might
right, perhaps
create
having
two
a content type.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would be an alternative. It is another call, and then that is used as the core of Flatten. But it sort of seems like, well, really, that is what Flattening's doing. And the fact that we're only extracting the content of that is, that's sort of just the last final step. So, and the purpose of that is to get back a JSON-LD document, but it being an API, I don't think the API was restricted to only returning things which are JSON-LD documents. That's much more of a REST type concern of what the valid content type is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, but I wouldn't like to see both in the same method call, but I'm completely fine with having two methods, for example.
I guess I'm not convinced that we need two methods. Argument why we need two methods because the return value, what you get back, is vastly different between the two calls?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think
I'm trying to think of
in
any
fact,
go ahead, Greg, sorry.
Yeah, the Flatten, I believe Flatten returns an object with a context and a graph. Or actually, internally, Flatten results in an expanded document. And is that compacted at the end of that? I've forgotten specifically.
In order
to get the context. So it just returns an expanded JSON-LD document.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, certainly, being able to do a Flatten and getting back a compacted document is what I rely upon for my Graphify implementation, for instance, is iterating over that. So I think we might want to consider that as being at least an option that can be done in there. But getting back that node map is useful. Now, typically I'm using this in Backbone, and in Backbone it's really operating on REST resources, so I can't make use of it there. But having a way to be able to operate upon a JSON-LD document and get something back that I can do within memory, I think is something that we're going to have to do if we want to support Graphify. So if our concerns are just a matter of, well, what exists, what does an API call do? And do we in general want to create a number of different API entry points that perhaps are implemented in terms of each other, or do we want to try to reduce the number of different entry points and then provide options to get different flavors of data out? framing is certainly an example of something which allows you to get a lot of different flavors of data out.
Mm-hmm. I think personally I would much rather have less entry points, mainly because I think it has this perceived level of complexity that goes along with it. Like, you know, when you add options to API calls, people tend to not complain all that much if they know that in general this is what they're getting back, or they're getting back an object that has this general not form, but you know, whenever I flatten, I'm getting back a list of objects that have been basically merged. Now, what they're indexed on is completely, you know, it's a separate concern, kind of. I'm worried that if we add all of these kind of atomic mechanisms in there, you know, the argument for doing that is, oh, well, the API spec is really powerful. You can compose things, and there's a lot of power in composition. But if our audience is the general web developer community, I don't think that works that well with that community, mostly because this group of people have to learn all of these different APIs, and the last thing they want is another really, really complicated framework to learn. So it seems to me that the better way to approach this is to say, look, there are four basic things that you can get out of the JSON-LD API. You know, they're A, B, C, and D. You can modify what you get out slightly if you use options to get it out. Sorry, Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. Well, let's see. First, my Graphifier, or Connect, as I call it, I think, doesn't flatten first. It does the flattening or merging during it traverses just the entire document. Actually, it only traverses the object on the list, of course, and then builds up a map.
How do you deal resolving two node definitions with the same ID?
I merge them. The connect creates a new data structure.
Okay.
Or I think that I've done both actually in the past. So the first one I hit upon, I just merge everything else looking like having the same ID. Every property from that I add to the first occurrence. Since
right.
The result is the same, although I mutate in the first case and copy in the other. The other thing is that I wonder if we should have a separate flatten method, or if we could have a flattened or merged flag to expand instead.
Well, that would actually be a reasonable thing to do for what flatten is right now.
Yeah,
because that is a sort of a sense of expansion as well. That's pretty useful. And then you can simply compact. If that flag is passed to compact, and it can be passed along to the expand phase of compact, then you can also get back the compacted version you want. So I like that idea. It sidesteps the notion of, well, what about getting out a node map? But maybe that's not something, maybe that's not quite as important.
It's not necessary for certain the cases we've seen. The funny thing that struck me is that if we were to add something like that, what the data that method would return would be 90% RDF JSON, with just difference in the keys describing the literals and the references.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are three proposals kind of on the table right now. One of them is add a flag to expand. That would give you back flattened information. The other one is have an API method that does effectively the same thing. And then the third thing that's kind of floating out there is get a ID map back for the flattened contents. Is that right? Those are the three things?
Well, there's a fourth.
Okay.
Basically, you could also use a kind of an empty frame, and that would effectively flatten it. But we don't have framing in the spec at the moment.
Okay, I'm trying to think of how we could cut this so that we deal with the whether or not. So I think we all agree that flatten should go into the spec. Some form of flatten should go into the spec. If trying not to overcomplicate the API or trying not to have too many entry points is what we want, then adding an option to expand would probably make the most amount of sense. Is that
as long as we add it to both expand and compact?
Oh, okay. And it's easy to add it to both expand and compact. Is that right?
Yeah, I think basically the way that the algorithms would be defined is that first you run expand, and then if the flatten option is specified, you run the flatten algorithm, and then if you were doing compact, you compact.
So
and that's basically that's basically what framing does.
Yeah.
Is it first expands, then it flattens, although it extracts the node map from flatten, and then it uses that as the basis of doing the framing.
So the compacted flattened document should always come back inside of an @graph property?
If you compact, it would have to do that because you have to have a context. Framing doesn't do that. It does. How does it do that? At one time, framing put the context in each of the elements of an array, but... Yeah, basically anything that returns a compacted form is going to return an object containing a context. So compacting a graph would return, I guess, perhaps except for the minimal case, or maybe not, of a graph with only one node in it, wouldn't, strictly speaking, have to include a graph. Then you would expect to always get back something with a graph in it.
Okay, so are we... Could everyone kind of do a plus one, minus one, plus zero on the four options that we have? Greg, was there another option that you just outlined, or no?
So I think the options are a flag to expand and compact, a separate API call, a possibly another one to return a node map, and the third would be if we had framing, or the fourth would be if we had framing in there, that it would be expressed through a trivial frame.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And shouldn't we decide first whether we have framing or not? I mean, it's a bit difficult to.
That's true.
To vote on it without knowing that.
We could, or just get a quick poll on what we think. I don't think we should support framing. I think it's too. I think that APIs, the JSON LD implementations, can implement framing, but I think we're still a bit too wobbly on all of the different things it could possibly do. And it seems to me that maybe Graphify kind of solves a different problem, but I'm concerned about the amount of complexity there is in framing, meaning that there's, you know, it's kind of got its own, you know, DSL right now, and it seems to be expanding, and I want to make sure that we're fairly sure about what we're doing with it before we try and, you know, make it into a spec. again, we can always add it to the JSON-LD API spec later. Any other thoughts on whether or not we support Frame in 1.0?
Yeah, I'm not sure about it. It's definitely complex, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely useful. Like, our system couldn't exist without it. But I'm, you know, hesitant because it, I mean, it's really hard. It's really hard to understand what you're going to get out of it without having to just run, you know, do tests over and over and over again until you get out something that you expect. That is, unless you really understand the algorithm, and it's hard to really understand it because it is a fairly complicated algorithm.
Yeah. So one of the things that's in the Flatten method is the ability to specify what graph that you want back. And I think that's something that would need to be included. So I would think that a flatten option would take as an argument the graph to flatten. Although there is a case, and I don't think flatten currently does it, where what you want to get back is basically right now, compact would get you back something that included the graph definitions for all of the subgraphs. And flatten, I think, takes a graph ID and gives you back one of them, either the merged graph, the default graph, or a named graph.
Hmm.
So I think we need some way to flatten but still get back the the explicit graphs, right?
The
expression, all of them, which would include merging the default graph into the top level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's kind of an implementation concern, right?
It's a concern for what the API allows you to do.
Right. Francois, you're on the queue.
Hi, we seem to be in a weekly pattern where I lose you towards the end, where I don't understand. So this week, as previous week, I'm going to just try to understand what you're just saying. I'm slightly confused here by the different options. And first, one thing that I think Marcus, or I don't know if it's probably Marcus, raised that, I'm slightly concerned that the flattening method could return something that is not JSON-LD in the end. I do get that to RDF, the method will return something that is not JSON-LD because basically it converts to another syntax, so that's okay. But the rest of the functions, in my view, should return something that stays within JSON-LD. It seems a bit weird to have a method that returns something that is not. And so I don't like the idea to add a flag to flatten method that would, if the flag isn't there, the method would return an array. And if it's there, the method would return basically an object, an old map. That seems a bit strange from a developer perspective to just to rely on a parameter to get something else, to get something different. So I guess I'm a bit confused by the different options, but that's what I get from them.
Right. So go ahead.
One final point I wanted to make is that it seems like a very good use case for actually the app container at ID that we just rejected for good reasons. We rejected it for good reasons, but it seems like this use case is actually a good one just to be able to create the node map to the ID as the key. Sounds like a very important use case to me, because I agree that it's actually quite useful. And it's more useful to have the node map than to have the list, the flat list for I'm done.
I think part of the reason that it's you pointed some good points, and perhaps that we did move on from NodeMap too soon. I think that what's useful is the top-level object representation, because interestingly, it sort of becomes the core algorithm that's used within the implementation of these different API methods, is to basically get an indexed structure of nodes. Yet there's no way to actually get that out. It's an obvious thing that developers are going to want to do, and I think as a library maintainer, I think it's just inevitable that I'm going to provide direct access to do that, because otherwise you end up getting back a flattened structure, and then you've got to recreate that index by iterating through it, which is clearly non-optimal for any larger graphs. But yes, if there's not a normative, if there's not a data format described for that representation, then it's problematic. Now, maybe we do want a special content type to be able to describe things that are in that form, but I do not think that it is a generic ID map in the sense of applying to arbitrary properties. It's much more either something that exists at the very top level object or as the value of a graph key.
So Nicholas, I'm going to jump in front just very quickly. I think we need to separate these two issues. We're talking about flattening and then the ID maps thing. I think there are two separate things. So without getting into the ID mapping, I think we can get to that later. Let's just try and decide what we're going to do with flatten. And once we do that, then we can kind of move on to the ID maps. Sorry, Nicholas, you're on the queue.
No, it's okay. I agree. I think that I think the same. I believe that we will vote for option one. It seems like that from the votes. And given the flag to those, we wouldn't end up with any kind of ID map anyway, unless we erase the previous issue about container ID or something like that, which we could do subsequently. So I think that we could go ahead with that, this voting. One detail, though, I'm not sure if I haven't thought about the term for so long, but I think that merged is a better term than flattened.
Yeah.
Okay. Merged.
Well, but it's...
Or something.
If you consider that you've got a tree, you are, in doing the merging, you are flattening the tree.
Yeah. Or normalize.
But it's sort of doing both. Both, yeah. Names are important. Only thing I was jumping in on is to say we probably want to not call it a flag, but an option, because it's going to require a value to be included along with it.
We could call it flurge for flatten merge.
Flurge.
Okay, support, I'm just going to put it down, and I'm just going to name it Flatten. We can change the name later if we come up with a better one.
Yeah.
Is that okay, Nicholas?
Sure.
Support a Flatten option to expand and compact, whose argument, I don't know, whose value will be the graph to flatten. Is that right, Greg?
Yeah, the resulting graph to return, and I think it has to. It's similar to the existing flatten API, but it needs an additional keyword option that basically returns all of the graphs.
Okay, so support flatten option, expand and compact. the value of the option will be the graph to flatten and return?
Yeah, except that one option has to be to get back all of the graphs.
Right,
one document that contains all of the graphs.
Okay, so we could just say if it's star, then it's all the graphs.
Or just true.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So implementation detail, we should note that in the... we should note that after the proposal.
Which default value should we have? False or?
I would say merged. Yeah, false, of course, yeah. Sorry.
Value of the option. Okay, so false means give me the default graph?
No, false means don't perform flattening.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. The value of the option will be graph to flatten and return. The default value will be false to ensure that graphs ensure that the JSON LD input document is not flattened. Okay. Does that look good?
Yeah, so actually if you use this option to expand with true, it's pretty much equivalent to converting to and from RDF.
Okay.
How does the data look like that's returned there? If you have two disjoint graphs, for example,
I think
you
that...
So if you have a default graph,
you're always going to get back an object.
Graph.
So it would be like Compact would do it right, the way Compact does it right now. You get back an object containing the context and graph with the two objects defined within that graph. So if you specified default or what merged or combined or whatever, I think that's the representation you would expect. If you specify true, I think you get back pretty much like what you would do with to and from RDF, where you would get back an object with the default terms, the default elements defined at the top level, and then the graphs included within the object, the node definitions that have an ID that is the graph ID. I mean, it is a detail, and I think we can probably look at some. We probably need to offline go and do some use cases and so show what the result looks like.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, just so I don't forget it before we close. Regarding mapping and ID maps and stuff like that, an additional detail to my implementation is that apart from an ID map, I also build a type map. So that's just to ponder, perhaps. But given that, my implementation would have no use for getting the ID map back anyway, because it builds two maps simultaneously.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's almost as if we're talking about some indexing mechanism to index by property X. So type would be one of those. ID could be theoretically thought of as another thing.
Hmm.
So you go and you flatten and you index based on, you know, which property.
Exactly. I've even thought of adding more options to that, although I haven't seen any uses for it right now. I think that in the RDF API experiment I did in the RDF A lab, I didn't need an explicit type map because I could just get the ID for the type Oh, right. And then I use the rev map for each object, so I could get at the type via type.
All right.
Yeah. But that's an alternate road altogether.
Okay. All right. So we're at the end of the call. I think, we definitely should kind of track that, because it seems like it's what we might want to think about as a general indexing-based mechanism. And if we had that indexing-based mechanism, you could get ID maps out, you could get type maps out, or you could get any arbitrary property, you know, anything that's mapped by any, you know, property of an object, you could get out as a map. So I think that's the general, it seems like that's the general solution to all of this stuff we're discussing. So it would be like an index call or something like that. And you give it a JSON LD keyword, or you give it a RDF property, or you know, an IRI, and it'll index everything based on all of the objects in a JSON LD document based on that. Okay. Could we do a resolution on frame really quickly? Do we feel that that's a quick discussion? So does anyone feel strongly about supporting frame in JSON LD 1.0?
Frame.
Yeah, because we already resolved to support flatten, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So frame.
I mean, I have very little use for frame, but I think if we proceed with this sort of more generic index mechanism, I think that solves a lot of the query uses that otherwise you would be using in frame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm...
Go ahead, Nicholas.
Yeah, I don't think I would need frame in 1.0. I do some kind of framing, but it's totally idiomatic for my use cases, you know, with the multiple re-embedding and things like that.
Mm-hmm. We definitely have a very strong use case for frame, but I'm almost convinced that it's too complicated for people that don't understand the algorithm to use. So I think it's too complicated, and we should strike it as a feature for 1.0. Maybe we'll come up with something that's simpler for, you know, 1.1 or 2.0.
Yeah.
Marcus, any strong thoughts one way or the other?
No, it would be fine both ways.
Okay.
I mean, if we decide to not support it, what will be like the next steps? Do we still want to keep that framing spec on JSONLD.org, or do we want to drop it completely? Or
I think we'd want to keep the spec around, because we definitely have a use case for it. And if for systems that accept arbitrary JSON-LD documents and need to extract a subportion of that document for the REST call, so let's say you have a REST call that expects to get a very specific type of object, framing is incredibly useful for that scenario. But I don't know how many people are building systems like that. I know the Paceworm stuff definitely needs it, but I don't know if any other system is really would need that. In any case, it would be a shame to take the spec down, because I think we have something that has solved a problem. We shouldn't just take it off of the net.
I agree. In fact, there might be cases for doing other community-related JSON-LD things that aren't something that we want to formalize for 1.0, or perhaps ever, but as a way to be able to, as a sort of a way to maintain them and provide access to the community, I think it's useful to have there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so the proposal of Francois, you said plus one not to have framing. Dave Lane, opinion on framing? Okay, so the proposal is do not support frame in JSON-LD 1.0 in the JSON-LD 1.0 API.
Uh,
Okay, that's the call for today. This was a great call. We got through all our issues, amazing, and more. So we covered a lot on the call. Thanks for the great discussion, guys. We will meet again next week and continue to go through the issues. Greg, have a wonderful time wherever you're going.
Vancouver.
Vancouver. Yeah. Have a wonderful time in Vancouver.
Thank you.
Guys. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.